Afternoon, everybody. It's very nice to be here. It's sort of, we were just discussing beforehand, it's very nice to be away from the internal skirmishes within the Parliamentary Labour Party. So it's a bit of respite on my part to be here this afternoon. So I'm looking forward to a good conversation. I thought I'd just throw out some ideas about where I'm coming from in all of this, because you might not necessarily gauge that from just reading the New Statesman piece. I'm sort of conflicted as a Labour MP, given the turbulence of the modern world and the political conversations. And I was most taken by a piece that Michael Sandel wrote. In fact, I'm doing a project with him on it recently about how you understand the rise of authoritarian populism. And simply put, he saw this as an indictment of the progressive left, in that it's lost its ethical or moral potency, which it had coming out of the Second World War as a critique of capital, built the welfare state to sort of as a civilizing series of political interventions. And then the way it bent into neoliberalism down the road under the sort of third way movement meant it lost that character. It became managerial, remote, and therefore ill-equipped to deal with the extraordinary shockwaves of 2008. And therefore it's lost its capacity to understand and rebuild a conversation built again around a critique of capital. And he said to do that, you'd have to have four sort core elements. One, it would have to rebuild a sort of a model of inclusive growth. Second, it would have to rethink the notion of the national community within this. Third, it would have to get beyond its equality of opportunity mantra, third way mantra of supply side reform, education, 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 get into more serious questions of power and democracy. And fourthly, it would have to create a different model of justice compared to traditional utilitarian left thinking, or indeed rights-based models, which can be individualized. So, I mean, I was sort of taken by that. And if you agree with that, then you have to try and do something about it. So we have a series of projects that are trying to do that. And sorry, the one other melody he did mention was that you have to readdress the significance of work in our lives. Not least because of debates around universal income, automation, technological change, etc., etc. So that's quite a big challenge. Now, I should say, by background, I'm not really involved in the internal rows within the Labour Party, really. I was supportive of Corbyn when he came in, because I thought after 2015 the Labour Party had to literally be blown up, really, and it had to be sort of fundamentally challenged about what its purpose was, not least because of some of this background in terms of it lost its ethical character, to my mind. But at the same time, I'm MP for Dagenham in East London, with a lot of recent history of far-right activity. The role of a prospective left coalition, and what is its nature, what its constituent elements, is very significant to me, because in a period of deindustrialization in my community, we had 13 BNP councillors on the council until 2006. We had Nick Griffin standing there in 2010. It's quite a lively conversation. We had 30% UKIP vote. And a lot of this debate in and around Corbynism hasn't really landed and resolved its future coalition. Now, one way of resolving that is to get away from what used to be called the progressive dilemma, to quote David Markgrund, which was, how do you reconcile middle class intellectual concerns with its working class base of left politics? And a lot of the debate, which is sort of partly why I got into some of these debates reflected in the New Statesman piece, is you can get away from or resolve this progressive dilemma by disinventing it, the terms of it, through disinventing a working class as the base of the left. And you see across the left now is quite a really thoughtful, incredibly ambitious attempt to rethink the essential base of the left. A lot of debates around post-capitalism, fully automated communism,
luxury
communism, how we're trying to invent the future, asserts that through technological change, that the working class, well, you wave farewell to them again. You know, it's a sort of recurring drumbeat across the left whereby they're a bit racist, and they're being abolished anyway. So their role in our coalition is offers diminishing returns. Fortunately, we're on the right side of history, given technological change. So we double down on the new base of the left being amongst the urban, educated, metropolitan youth. That's the new base of the left. And now that's a huge challenge to the left, but it's not discussed. Now, something that reasserts their essential base of the left, to be totally different to what I understood it to be, deserves a conversation, right, in terms of its consequences, especially as it seeks to get out from under this historical concern about what is the progressive dilemma and how you resolve it, which is usually through brokering platforms that reconcile interests, classes, geographies, ages, blah, blah, blah. We seem to be getting away from that. And indeed, you could argue, looking at the statistics of the last general election, that class has flattened out as an issue. There are no class distinctions across different parties now. There are major canyons down the country in terms of age, education, geography, whether you remain or leave, if you're BME or not, but they're not class cleavages as of old. And that is hugely challenging for a Labour MP, given the constituency I hold. And that got me into some of these debates around automation, because I was in Downing Street 97 on, and my job was around introducing the minimum wage, trade union law, regulation of working time, introducing the social chapter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the biggest block we had about enacting a labour market programme were debates within the left at the time around a new knowledge work being the future, which again waves farewell to the working class through, again, a certain technological determinism, a certain mixed with certain sociological concerns around forms of cosmopolitan thinking that talked about freedom's children and an assertion of community or nation simply being to privilege who was there first, you know, which again has profound implications in terms of if you see politics as being a competitive search for votes within a specifically defined piece of territory or land is quite interesting about whether you have certain moral obligations to those who inhabit that community over a sort of a cosmos. So all of these things are played in around some of these debates around the Labour Party now within Momentum, which again, I am supportive of. I think for first time in a long time within the left, there's a sort of creativity. There's a genuine intellectualism amongst many of the younger participants in the conversation, and they're trying to dramatically rethink and bowl into place of big, big ideas. I do think, however, we should learn from the past. And the danger with the new Labour project, with its technological determinism and its cosmopolitanism, is that it acted to do very little to address some of the material concerns of traditional working class base. Obviously, you're not going to be that concerned about it if you think it offers diminishing returns anyway. But arguably, that lies behind some of the authoritarian populism that we see today. That is the legacy of a failure to address some of this can be played out in that sense of hopelessness, anger, frustration that underpins a lot of the authoritarian populism today, which means that we have to rethink a modern inclusive growth. There was a very good report last week by the IPPR, which is trying to do so. Now, another area of interest for me is around the whole history of the left itself. And I always worked on the assumption that the history of the left could be understood. Ken Morgan, the great Labour historian, divided it between, or Tawney did as well, between ethical traditions and scientific or utilitarian traditions, if you want, dating back from the creation of the Fabians and the ILP, and that was the fork in the road in 1893, 1894. And those twin concerns reflect, and the contest between the two reflect the ongoing character of the party of who has power, who has dominance, and really it's a story of the dominance of utilitarian thinking in the history of the party. Now, in the 50s and 60s, I think you can identify socialist humanism as a reaction, primarily in the debates within the Communist Party, but parallel to some of those concerns, a reaction against the totalitarianism, the scientific technological determinism, the rationality of the traditional hard left, if you want, and a return to ethical or virtue concerns around that radical left. That always interested me. And I think, again, you can see that being repudiated in some of the modern debates around technological change. And there's a sort of humanism rather than anti-humanism in a lot of these debates, which I find very uncomfortable, because the history of the left is also informed by certain eugenic concerns that tend to be not discussed. But there's always an element to that in terms of some of the ways we seek to appropriate technological change, which has deep concerns in terms of practical politics. Just make a couple of other issues that I find interesting that present debate. One is how you understand work. The signature policy issue of a lot of the, what I would call accelerationist left within Labour is universal basic income. And that gets back into the Sandel question of how we understand the meaning and purpose of work in our lives. And that is based on a rejection, again, of the traditional basis of the left, which was to confront the dispossession of our labour, our alienated labour, through forms of agency and political struggle and contestation over the form the employment relationship takes, rather than argue the liberating potentials of post-work utopias. And that feeds into, it seems to me, some very interesting questions about the role of almost scientific sci-fi within modern left thinking, in that you could say the humanist left in the last century, Huxley, Orwell, their interventions were to challenge Huxley's way, utilitarian thinking, Orwell's way, sort of totalitarian thinking, to try and defend humanity or a socialist humanism within it about the dangers of technological change. That seems to be flipped around today in terms of an embrace, a utopian embrace of technology, irrespective of what we might learn from history about the dangers of that as a politically. So that's why all of these things are played out in some of these modern debates around technology and how we understand it. And it seems to me that the left has lost a lot of what it learnt in its own history. And that's a very dangerous direction of travel. But at the same time, it is a source of energy and vitality within the modern left. So there are tripwires around all of these debates, and they just should be sort of teased out a bit. And that was really simply the purpose of some of the things. Because my real interest is, if you can define, if you can understand political philosophy or politics as essentially a contest between different views about how society should be organised, built around different competing theories of justice, then the challenge at hand to me is to rebuild a virtue-based model of politics. Because the clock's ticking on this. Liberalism, social democracy, and conservatism all bent into a sort of new late neoliberal era, and they are now disintegrating. The three models that have dominated the last 200 years in terms of forms of political organisation are collapsing, and in its place are almost traditionalist models of authoritarian populism or forms of state capitalism, or models of centrism, Macron, Trudeau, whatever, forms of hyper-individualized identity politics, forms of tech utopianism, but nowhere seems to me to be what is needed, which is a reassertion of what I would call socialist humanism. And that sort of lies behind the article, really. So that's sort of, just by way of introduction, there's some of the sort of concerns that sort of interest me.